Great to see you. Hey, let's get started. And of course, we'll do this, and then we'll have prayer time. But go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're actually going to start, one of the key verses is, therefore, if any man is in Christ, it's verse 17. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. We continue, of course, our study of the relationship between Christ and his church. And we've been seeing this unique relationship between Jesus Christ and believers. We've been looking at seven things. That's what we've been doing going through the study. Seven aspects of this relationship, which is described in the Word of God, and we just see the emphasis. Let me remind you of this. I put it in, I think, the second or the first handout or something, but notice this. We see Christ as the shepherd, we're the sheep. The emphasis is salvation. We saw, and this was last time, we saw Christ as the groom, we're the bride. That's a relationship. Tonight, we're going to see he's the last Adam, we're the new creation. It's the idea of a new person, and we'll show you how that fits together. He's the high priest, we're the priest. The emphasis is worship. He's the vine, we're the branches. The emphasis is growth. He's the head, we're the body. The emphasis is service. And then finally, he's the cornerstone, we're the building blocks, and the emphasis is evangelism. So all of those tie together. We've been going through those one each week, and this time it's the last Adam and the new creation. And when we look at that, sometimes you think of last Adam and new creation, you think, well, how does that fit? Because I can see shepherd and sheep, vine and branches, head and body, the groom and the bride. But last Adam, new creation. We'll see how it fits together as we go through it. It's a really a neat way to look at our relationship with Jesus Christ. We understand that Jesus is the last Adam. He died and rose again. As we're in union with him by faith, we become a new creation, and we'll see how that ties together. We want to see these truths as we dig through the scripture. And as always, if you want to, we'll have input. In fact, as I teach through this, we'll get through with it tonight. But if you got questions, comments, inputs, we'll just talk about them as we go through it. Well, let's start with a prayer, and then we'll get into the study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great night. Thanks for the fun we have as we come together. Thanks for each one that's here. Lord, thank you for Vacation Bible School. We just pray for all the workers. We know they're tired and a lot of things are going on. And thank you, Lord, for their hard work all day long this morning and all week. And Lord, thank you for each one that's come tonight that we have the opportunity to worship you and to study and to pray and just have a great time. So we just ask you, Lord, that as we study, that you would teach us and we'd see how these things fit together, especially, Lord, when we think about Jesus Christ being the last Adam and us being a new creation. Thank you for that, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, one of my favorite professors at Dallas Seminary is a guy named Bill Lawrence. When we dedicated this building in 2002, I think it was 2002, August 2002, had Bill Lawrence come, and he did the message on our dedication service that morning. He's really a great guy. He used to say this. Now, this is what he'd do. I think we got the slide. He would say, as believers, we can't live the way we used to live because we're not who we used to be. That's what Bill would say. You can't live how you used to live because you're not that same person. What does he mean? Well, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, notice, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we are a new creation. We died and rose again to a new life, died and rose again, and now we have this new life. We're not the way we used to be. Well, this evening, we want to see how this ties in with our relationship with Jesus Christ, who's called the last Adam. We're going to see how this fits together. Now, as we do this, we've been seeing a continuing look, of course, at the relationship of Jesus Christ and the church. Pretty powerful. We've been seeing this unique relationship. We realize that when a person believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, we enter an eternal relationship with Christ. There are many ways that the Word of God describes this relationship. Sometimes we're called believers. Sometimes we're called saints. Sometimes we're called children of God. But the key term that is used throughout the Scripture, in fact, probably used the most, is that we're called the church. The called out ones. We are the believers of the church. Now, this relationship between Christ and the church is described in a number of ways, and we've looked at those ways, and I showed that slide up there a while ago, that all those seven different ways. Well, the last two times that we've met and looked through this, we've seen he's the shepherd and we're the sheep. The emphasis is salvation, because remember, he's the good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. He gives us life, eternal life, and all of that. That was that. Then we saw the groom and the bride, and the emphasis there was relation. A relationship would probably be the better word there. But the idea is, here's Jesus. He's the groom who takes care of us, provides, protects, does all of those things, and we're the bride. That's what we saw last time. Now, what we want to do is, this time, we're moving in to the third one, which we're calling it. Go ahead and go to the third slide. The last Adam and the new creation, and the emphasis is that we're a new person. And this one, as I said earlier, may not be quite as familiar, because you can say vine branches. You can say head body. You can say shepherd sheep. But when you say last Adam, you don't naturally just say new person. What, I mean, you just don't think that. You don't think of a new creation. It just may not be familiar. But it's a very important relationship, and it describes some of the great truths to those of us who belong to Jesus Christ. And that's what we've been seeing. Well, I want you to see this. That Christ is the last Adam and we are the new creation. And that's what we've been seeing in all these unique relationships. And the key to this relationship is really the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look again at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how do we get in Christ? By faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. If anyone is in Christ, we're a what? A new creation. That's the bottom line. We're in union with Him and we're a new creation. This all ties together. Christ is the last Adam. The church is the new creation. Now, I want you to think about this. We were connected. In fact, let me show you something. The first Adam and the last Adam. Now, the Bible doesn't call Jesus the second Adam. Sometimes people have said first Adam, second Adam. The Bible doesn't say first Adam, second Adam, because if you have a second Adam, you could have a what? Third Adam. But the Bible calls him the first Adam and the last Adam. Okay? And the last Adam. First Adam is Adam, and last Adam is Jesus. When we were connected with the first Adam, we were dead. When we're connected with the last Adam, Jesus Christ, we're alive. We're a new creation. So that's why I want you to see this. Just as shepherd and sheep and groom and bride, we have last Adam and new creation tying together. And we'll see that as we go through it. We need to look. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to look first at the first and the last Adam and show the contrast there and how that fits together. And then we're going to see the old and the new creation and see how that fits together. So let's start first with the first and the last Adam. Okay? Now think about who that is. The first Adam, of course, is referring to the first man, Adam. And the last Adam, that's the one created by God. Of course, the last Adam is Jesus Christ himself. That's how he's described it. Now, look at this right here. Adam, the first Adam, is the head of the fallen human race, while the last Adam, Christ, is the head of the believing human race. That's the contrast we're going to see between these two. So Adam was the head of the human race that fell. Christ is the head of the human race, in a sense, that believes. Remember Romans 5:12, it's through one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all. Who's that one man that death entered the world? That's Adam. Okay, now here's what I want you to do. You'll have to follow this. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If for some reason it's not making sense or it's not flowing, just stop and we'll talk about it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll look at verse 22. First Corinthians 15, verse 22 says this. For as in Adam, what happens? All die. So also in Christ, all what? Will be made alive. And so what we see is a contrast between the first Adam and the last Adam. Now, I've got, as you flow through this, I've got it up. I'm going to have it up on the board as well. But we'll see this. Let's start first with the first man is Adam. The last Adam is the Son of God, the perfect man. So that's the first, the contrast that you have there. So the first Adam is Adam, and the last Adam is Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God. That's the contrast we're going to see. First Adam, last Adam. Adam, Jesus. Now, look at the contrast, because you'll follow it in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at number 2 there, and it is this. Adam is a living soul, but Christ became a what? A life-giving spirit. Notice 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to turn over to verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Okay, it says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a what? A living soul. The last Adam, that's Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. Now, do you see the contrast? One, how did Adam become a living soul? God breathed life into him. How is Christ a life-giving spirit? He is God and he is life. And so you see a contrast between one who had to have life breathed into him by God. The other is God who breathes life into others. So you have this great contrast, and that's what Paul is trying to do here. He says the first man became a living soul, but the last Adam became a life-giving spirit, okay? The second thing, or the third thing, is, notice this one, is that Adam is from the earth, and the last Adam is from heaven. Notice verse 47. The first man is from the earth, and he's what? Earthy. The second man is from heaven. So you could put this, I should have put it maybe a while ago, he's a living soul, and he gives life. This one's from the earth. This one's from where? Heaven. Let's think about, why is Adam from the earth? Why is he says, the first man is from the earth, earthy. Why? What does that mean? He is of the earth. What does his name mean? Yeah, Adama. The Hebrew word for Adam is Adama. That's why we get Adam from it. And it means dirt. Now, the Hebrew word for man is ish. The Hebrew word for woman is isha, which means out from man. But Adam has a name, and his name was Adama, which means dirt. That's why he says the first man, Adam, is from the earth, earthy, because he's dirt. But the second man is from heaven. And we think about that. Philippians 2, he left the glories of heaven to come to this earth so he could die for us on the cross. He became a human being to take on our sin. But at the same time, he's not from this earth. He's from heaven. And so you see the contrast between the first man, the first Adam, the last Adam. One is a living soul, the other is a life-giving spirit. One is from the earth, the other is from heaven. Here's the next thing. The fourth thing is that Adam brings death, while the last Adam, Jesus, gives life. This one, and I put it right over here, but I said that it, his death, whoops, that's not right. And this one gives life. Think about this. The verse that we read earlier in verse 22, for is in Adam all die. Anyone connected with Adam is what? Anyone connected with Adam is dead. We come into this world connected with Adam, right? Aren't we born in the image of Adam? And we come into this world what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Anyone connected with Jesus Christ is what? Life. He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So anyone connected with Adam, there's death. Anyone connected with Christ is life. First Adam brings death. Second Adam brings life. This is what we're seeing in this contrast. It's very, very powerful. Think about it. The first Adam brings death. Romans 5. Question? Comment? Every person coming into this world is already destined for the lake of fire. Every human being coming into this world. Every person who comes into this world is destined for the lake of fire. They come into this world dead and trapped. We'll see in just a second. We're going to go to Ephesians 2. So there is not a limbo or anything where a person comes into the world and then when they get to a point, they say, now I've got to decide whether I'm going to go to hell or go to heaven. Everyone's destined for hell. All are dead in trespasses and sins. This is not the issue in it, because a baby may not be connected with Adam when they die, because Jesus Christ has paid for the sins of every human being. And the basis for salvation is what? Faith. But a child cannot believe. A baby can't believe. And so you're asking a different kind of question, because this is whether the grace of God, what does he do with those who are incapable of believing, such as a baby in the womb or a baby or a person who never gets to the point where they can believe. I personally believe that God, in his grace and mercy, because Jesus already paid for every sin, he saves those people, not based on their faith, because they're not able to believe. That's a unique thing. Right. Okay, good. All right, so we've got Adam brings death, But the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, gives life. I want you to do this. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see what he does. And we're going to stay there for a few minutes because the next part of this, when we look at the old and the new, goes back to Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, what did he do? Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So the one thing I want you to see when we're talking about the first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam is Adam. He's the man. The last Adam is Jesus Christ. The first Adam became a living soul. The last Adam is the life-giving spirit. The first Adam is from the earth. The last Adam is from heaven. The first Adam brings death. The last Adam brings life. Okay? That's the contrast. Now what we've got to do is going to see the contrast between the, what we'd say is the old person and the new creation. And we'll see how that ties together. And we stay right there in Ephesians. We want to see the contrast. And we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the second Adam, when we believe in him as Savior. Jesus Christ, the head of the believing human race, gives life. The last Adam does that. Now, let's see the contrast between the old and new creation. I've got it on the board, but I've got it up there as well. When we look at this contrast, we're going to see that just as the old person was connected with Adam, the first Adam, which is earthly in death, when we believe in Jesus Christ and become a new creation, we're connected with the last Adam, and this is where we have life. And that's why that connection is so special. So let's think about it. Ephesians chapter 2, we see the contrast between the old self and the new creation. The old self was dead in sin. Look at Ephesians 2:1. And you were what? Dead in your trespasses and sins. Every person that comes in this world is dead in sin. Every person that comes in this world is born with the imputed sin of Adam, has a nature, a capacity to automatically sin, that is natural bent to sin, and then called the flesh. And then we come into this world and we personally sin. So we're sinners in those three ways. So our old self, our old creation, was dead in sin. We come into this world, we're spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now, I like the verse for two reasons. When he talks about, when I say like it, I don't like what it is, but I like how he puts it together, because he says you were dead in your trespasses and sins. These are two words for sin that are probably the two most used words in the New Testament. The first word, trespasses, means to step across the line. It means that it's rebellion. You choose to do something you know is wrong. It's like if you're out hunting and it says no trespassing and you step across the line, you know you did wrong. The second word, sins, is the word harmatia, which means to fall short. It means to miss the mark. And sometimes even when we're trying, we don't make it. So he's saying you were dead even in your rebellion and in the fact that you just didn't measure up. That's our old self. But look at the new self. The new self is alive. By faith in Jesus Christ, we're alive. Look down again at Ephesians 2, the verses that I quoted a while ago. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, what did he do? He made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you've been saved. He's raised us up and seated us in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. We were dead spiritually, now we are alive. So here we go, and that's why I've already got this word. We were dead, now we're alive. It's pretty powerful. We were dead, now we are alive. There's a second aspect, and if you'll see it, it's found in Ephesians 2, but look at the second aspect. The old creation lived contrary to God's word. We lived in rebellion. But as a new creation in Christ, we're to live in obedience. Now let's look at it for a second. Look at verse 2 of Ephesians 2. This is the old creation. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you, that's us, formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience. All among them too, we formerly lived in the lust of our flesh. How did we live as an unbeliever? Hmm? Well, we lived according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the lust of the flesh, all three things. We lived according to the world and the flesh and the devil. That's the bottom line. So we, as the old creation, we were contrary to God's word. But as a new creation, we're to live in obedience. Okay, now I want you to see something. Look at Ephesians 4:1. What does he say? Therefore, I, as the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, talking to believers, to do what? To walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you've been called. What's our calling? That we're children of God. We're alive in Christ. We're new creations in Christ. We're saints. We're all of these things. He says we're to walk in obedience. If the old self was disobedient, the old self lived in sin. The new self is supposed to live in obedience. That's the contrast. It's supposed to be. Now, it doesn't guarantee that the new creation of Christ will live in obedience, because that's a choice we make. Look at the third thing. The old creation was destined for wrath. But in Jesus Christ, there is no wrath. I want you to look at verse in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Among them too also we formerly live in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And look at the last of the verse. And we were by nature what? Children of... Children of what? Of wrath. Yeah, children of wrath, even as the rest. What we're destined for over here. Dead, old person, inside, in sin, destined for wrath. What about over here? There's what? No wrath. For Christ did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believes is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed. In Christ there is no condemnation. God demonstrates his love toward us while we are sinners. Christ died for us. Over and over and over. Look at 2:7 of Ephesians. Look what it says. So that in the ages to come, he might show his wrath toward us. Is that what it says? What does it say? In the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow. It's amazing. So what we see, that first Adam was Adam. Last Adam, Jesus. First Adam, living soul. Last Adam, gives life. First Adam from the earth. Last Adam from the heaven. First Adam brings death. Last Adam brings life. As the new creation, old creation, the old creation is connected with the first Adam. We were dead. We were old persons. We're in sin, and we're destined for wrath. As the new creation, we're alive. We are a new person. We're supposed to live in obedience, and there's no wrath. Now, the bottom line is, we want to have the connection. Just like he's the shepherd and we're the sheep, we want the fact that we're connected with the last Adam as a new creation. That's why it's so important. Because the truth is, we come into this world connected with the first Adam. And by faith in Jesus Christ, we're connected with the last Adam. That's the key. That's why it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. How do you get in Christ? It's by faith. Now, I want you to see this. Turn to Romans chapter 6 so you can see how we're connected with the death and resurrection of Christ and the new life there. Okay? Romans chapter 6. Verses 3, 4, and 5. Now, these are famous passages. We study this a lot of times, but I just want to see how it's put together. Romans 6, verse 3. Or do you not know? And he's writing to them that do know. And so he's writing it like, don't you know? You do know. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized, what does baptized mean? Huh? Identified and connected in union. Don't you know that all of us who have been identified, connected, into Jesus Christ, have been baptized, connected into his death. We died with him. Therefore, we've been buried with him through our connection, baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might what? Walk in a new life, a new creation. For if we become united within the likeness of his death, and we have, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6 says we died and rose in Christ to a new life. When we believe in him, we're connected with the last Adam. And this is what I do. I write this on the board, and you just have to know what I mean by this. Jesus died and rose again. That's the death and resurrection of Christ. Jesus died and rose again. When we're connected with him, we died and rose again with him to a new life and a new creation. Now, this is some pretty deep stuff, really. In fact, it's one of the key things in the whole Bible is our connection with Jesus Christ and our position in Christ. It's very powerful. Colossians 2:12 says almost exactly the same thing. Now, so when Jesus died and rose again and we believe in him, we move from being connected with the first Adam, which is old, death, sin, wrath, and we're connected with the last Adam because we died and rose again with him to a new life, a new creation, to obedience and no wrath. That's the connection. What do we have as new persons, new people in Christ? Look at this. Oh, that's, let me just go with it. By faith in Christ, what do we have? Eternal life. Go back to that slide because I didn't really go into details. You know, we've seen that Romans, well, that's the verses. Romans 6, 3, 6, 4, and 5, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, those are all those. Okay, go to the next thing. What do we do? What do we have? I think it's supposed to say, what do we have? I don't know. Yeah, what do we have? What do we have? It's not supposed to say, what do we do as new persons? It's supposed to be, what do we have as new persons of Christ? We are partakers of the eternal inheritance. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. We are justified, declared righteous. And then the fourth thing I have there, it's on the next slide, I believe, is we are changed from citizens on earth to citizens in heaven. We have that special relationship. So you don't want to be connected with the first Adam. You want to be connected with the last Adam. There's an old theological statement that says that when God looks at the earth and all people, he only sees two. He either sees first Adam or last Adam. And every human being is identified and connected with one of the two Adams. And so if you're in the first Adam, you're destined for separation, destined for wrath. If you're in the last Adam, you're destined for eternal life with Jesus Christ. And so the old thing is that when God looks at human beings, he sees first Adam, second Adam. And so which one do you want to be connected with? Because we believe in Jesus Christ, he's not only our shepherd and we're the sheep, and not only he's the groom and we're the bride, but he's the last Adam and we're the what? The new creation. Isn't that beautiful how that fits together? The Bible's full of all these kind of things, and we're going to see some more as we go through it. Now, here's the key. Then what's our response to all this? What are we supposed to do? Well, look at Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians and look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's a famous little passage that sometimes we overlook. Ephesians 4, and we'll look at verse 22, 23, and 24, and it goes together. So what is our response? The first is, notice verse 22, in that, in reference to your former manner of life. What was your former manner of life? Somebody tell me. It was what? Right here, isn't it? When you're the old person in sin, destined for wrath, isn't that your former manner of life? Notice what he says, that in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside your old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits. And never says, put off this old person. Because, see, this is called the flesh. There's a flesh aspect of the old man, and we can still live in that. That's why obedience is not guaranteed. He's saying, well, put off this old self. Quit thinking like the old person. Now, what do you think he's going to say after that without reading it? What does he say? Take off the old and what? That's what we think. But there's a verse in between there. Because look what he says. Take off the old and that you be what? Renewed in the spirit of your mind. The second thing has to be, we have to be renewed by the word of God. So we put off the old, renew our minds, and then what do? Put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and in holiness of the truth. What we do is put off the old, renew our minds. That's with the word of God. And then put on the what? He's saying, live like who you are. This is your connection. He's your shepherd. You're the sheep. He's your groom. You're the bride. He's the last Adam. You're the new creation. Live like a new creation. Powerful. We've seen shepherd, sheep, salvation. Groom, bride, relationship. Last Adam, new creation, a new person. That Jesus died and rose again, and all who believe in him have eternal life. We have a new life. We're placed in union with Christ. We're a new creation. Because see, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, the last Adam, all are made alive. May we rejoice in this new relationship that we have. Now I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open up for questions and talk through this. Because this is a theological one. I mean, it's a lot easier to see. Here's the sheep, here's the shepherd and the sheep. Yeah, I see that. But when we start talking about this one, it's a little bit harder. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, as we think through this, that we think about the first Adam and the last Adam and the old person and the new creation. And we think about the fact that it's connected with Adam. We die. And we're in sin, and we're destined for wrath, and there's the flesh and the old man. But connected with the last Adam, Jesus Christ, we're alive in a new creation and obedience and no wrath, and we're to live righteously and godly, to walk worthy of our calling. We're to take off the old and put on the new as we renew our mind. Lord, help us to understand the difference between the first Adam and the last Adam, and the old person and the new creation. May we grasp that in our relationship. Thank you, Lord, that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are connected with the last Adam and are a new creation in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's a lot of stuff tonight. What about it? Questions, comments, input, anything? Yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. It's actually dual. I think you're exactly right. I think it's dual here. If you notice that we have a past, present, and future there, let me get over to Ephesians 2. Yeah, past, present, and future. The past, of course, is that you were dead in trespasses and sins and all this. Present is he's rich in his great mercy. He loves us and he's raised us up and all this. And then the future is that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I think it's dual. I think we see, the way it's written in the Greek, I think we see his kindness and riches, but everybody else sees his kindness and riches when he deals with us, especially when he's dealing with the body of Christ, because I think that's what Ephesians is really about. And even though he's talking about individuals, but it's still the whole thing that in ages to come he's going to show the surpassing riches of his grace. So I think you're right. I think it's both. Of his grace and kindness. Because in the past, we were dead, and we're going to be separated from God. But what he did was send his son to die for us so that in the present, we've been made alive, raised up, and seated with him. So that in the future, that he in the ages to come, as he says in verse 7, that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And of course, that's being with him forever and the rewards and eternity and all of that. That's the riches of his grace. So that's a great, great, great point. What else? Questions, input? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Then why is Jesus referred to as the last Adam if Adam refers to dirt?
Okay, the name Jesus just means dirt because God brought him out of the ground and created him from the dust of the ground. But all that Paul is doing and what God is doing is showing us a contrast between the first Adam, which became the head of the human race, and when Adam sinned, every human being sinned. That sounds funny, but Romans 5:12 says, as by one man, Adam, sinned into the world, and death by sin, death passed to all because all sinned. Literally, we call that the doctrine of imputation, that when Adam sinned, since every human being technically was in Adam, because from Adam came the kids and kids and kids and kids, and that's how it spreads out. So when Adam sinned, technically every other human being got listed as a sin. So on your record book, it says you ate the fruit. You go, I didn't eat the fruit, yeah? Can you connect it with Adam and say you ate the fruit? So God's saying, okay, in this Adam, this first Adam, everybody connected with him ate the fruit and they're going to die. the last Adam, not a second Adam or a third Adam, but the last Adam, showing the contrast, is going to be the one who, when you're connected with this Adam, you got life, eternal life and salvation. So he's not making a contrast on the dirt there. He's just saying, here's the head of this here's the head of the unbelieving human race, so to speak, and here's the head of the believing human race. So that's a great question, though. Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, of course, you got to remember that Paul had been, taught the Corinthians. He knew them. And so the thing about it is that's why when we're reading the Bible, we got to realize these are letters written to people. And sometimes he doesn't explain things because they already knew them. And we're going, oh, man, we've only had 2,000 years gap in there and a different language. And so we just have to, that's why the more you study the Bible, it starts fitting together. And you see where it's last Adam over here that you think Romans 6. Ephesians 2, and it starts fitting together because they all do fit together. It just takes time to put them together, almost like end time events. You can go to about 10 books of the Bible and put together end time events, but if you don't go to all 10 books of the Bible, you can't put together the end time events. So it takes them all.
They're both kind of beginnings too. I mean, Adam's the beginning of the fallen world.
Exactly.
The last Adam that we'll ever have.
Exactly. That's why it's first Adam, last Adam. That's exactly right.